Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and welcome to the Thursday show. Yes, it is Thursday. Hopefully everybody's day is going really, really, really well. So what are we doing today? I'm looking for callers, I'm looking for listeners, I'm looking for people that want to ask questions of spirit. And, you know, like to talk to people who, your ancestors, those who have passed, and maybe famous people. I don't know, could be all of the above, right? And any of those. Why? Why do you want to do that? Why is that different than calling in a psychic and saying, give me a prediction? Well, because your family knows you better than anyone. Those who you've known in the physical world, they're now in the non-physical world, have access to all of your information and where you're going and who you are and why you want it and all that stuff. So I like to do it that way. I like to see what perhaps your great-grandmother or your uncle on your father's side, twice removed, might have to say about your life and going. So, and also in general about, because most of the messages they give are really very positive, because they see you and they go, ooh, you need, you know, maybe you should think about doing this or doing that. And I like to talk about your past lives because that indicates, okay, maybe you need to be working on this. Maybe this person in your life now is here to do this for you, right? That's what I'm kind of into. So I let my spirit guides talk to you about it. We've gotten a little political, a little bit on the, talked about religion a little bit and the idea of mythology and religion. We've done that. I try to talk to a little bit about abundance, and that's what I'm kind of about, is prosperity, abundance, whether it be love or relationships or money. So I'm putting a class together on Learn It Live, and I'll give you the link when I get the class set up. It's about abundance, and it's about prosperity and how to get there. And as I do the class, I'm kind of learning more myself on maybe I need to adjust a little bit. Maybe I need to change my look at life a little bit and my attitudes and my belief systems and how I approach life. And one of the key things I'm learning, and this is from the Law of Attraction, it's the Abraham material, which I have a quote for you from the Abraham material, which is really a good quote, is about that. And this, I focus on this a lot. It has to love, it has to money, it has anything going on in your life. That focus on the word why. Why you something? Why you want something? Why do you want money? Why do you want a relationship? And then go to why it feels good. Go to a feel-good thought about it. What feels good about money? What would money do for you? What feels good? Don't go to, this horrible feeling of what now is and all my problems. And stay away from problems, okay? Stay away from the problem. Go into why. Go into solution. Why is part of the solution? I like that. Why is part of the solution? Because when you're putting it out to the universe and saying, why I want this or why I want that, you're dealing with solution. You're telling the universe, okay, or God or spirit, or I call it source energy. You're telling source energy, this is why this is important to me. This is what it will do for me. Boom, solution. You're giving them solution that you want. And let that manifest for you. And then stay out of how. Oh, how is it going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. Stay away from how. Absolutely stay away from how. Let the universe, let source, God, bring the how part. And when, same thing. Let's stay away from when. You know, when can trip you up all the time. When is a tough one. Ew, when? Ooh, when's it going to happen for me? Oh, I need it now. I need it now. Just know that you have faith and trust that, yes, it will come when it needs to come. But stay in why. And what? And all these other W words, right? And how. How is the big, it's not a W, but it's still part of that why, when, where, and how. Why, when, where, and how. Just stay in why. That's what I'm working on, just staying in why. Why do I want whatever it is, right? Why is it? And why does it feel good? And when you think about why, think about, ooh, this feels really good. Move into really good feelings, because that's when you get into really, why do I love this so much? Why do I love money? There's nothing wrong with loving money. Now, you can be greedy and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But why do I love money? Why do I love to be in love? Why do I love relationships? What is it about? Why is it that I love something like that? And you could use, I guess you could use the word what. What is it about it? Why do I want this so much? And you got to feel good. It's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from that love place. So that's enough of that lesson. That's part of what I'm going to talk about. You get it free. Other people are going to have to pay a few dollars to go through the class. I'm just giving you a tidbit of what the class is all about prosperity. And where you need to do and where do you need to get there. And one of the other things I'll talk about a lot of is beliefs. Because we started to get beliefs at a very young age. And you have to be very careful with children on this one. Beliefs start at like really small, like when they first can hear you, basically. Because the words you say to a child have an influence on them, even at a young age. Because the brain just accepts. The brain just accepts. You just don't have a filter. Well, we won't talk about that today because that's part of what the class is all about. But if you want to learn more, if you have specific questions about this process, I'm willing to talk about it. I'd love to talk about this stuff because the more I talk about it and the more it anchors it within me and I can help you to anchor it within you so that you can become more prosperous or more love or more this or more that, whatever you want in your life. It's a process. It's a process that works really, really, really well. And people who have learned to use the process directly or indirectly, maybe they just naturally picked up on it somewhere along the line, and they use the process, are successful. Financially, emotionally, spiritually, all of the above. People who don't accept the process, don't live by the process, ignore the process, haven't learned the principles of the process. You know, the book, the movie they called The Secret, it's really more of a process than it's a secret. Okay? It's a process. It's a process. It's a mental, emotional, and physical process and spiritual process. There's a lot of spirituality involved in this. Regardless of what people will say, there's a lot of spirituality in all this because it all comes from source. It all comes from the divine nature and connecting with that. It's all being in unity with that. It's all being one with that energy. It's all being in the flow. Okay, in the flow. Okay, so I'm going to do a quote from Abraham Material because it kind of ties into all this. And we have some articles. Started talking about body language, and I found an article that I really liked, and it's about reading men's body language. Oh, young men, old men, it doesn't matter. Dates, not dates. Somebody you meet, somebody, it could even be your boss for that matter. Just reading the body language, especially it has to do with relationships and love and connecting at that level. Okay? So let's do that. Let's do the Abraham quote because it ties in really nicely with what I've been talking about. I think I'm moving to Canada. If Trump's elected, I'm moving to Canada. Okay, enough political stuff for one day, right? They're going, I thought you were really conservative. Nah, not really. Okay, we want you to understand that you are a powerful creator, and you have the ability to do, to be or do or have anything that you desire. Now, I love that statement. Let's reread that one. That's so cool. And this is from the Abraham Material. This is from February 1st, 2014, and they took a lot of that workshop and they put it into these brief lessons. I guess a good word is lessons, right? And you have the ability to do or have anything you desire, right? But you have got to begin by creating a vibrational atmosphere or a vibrational climate or a vibrational nucleus. Ooh, isn't that an interesting thought? Make yourself the vibrational starting point. Okay, so it's your vibration. It's about getting your vibration in a certain place. And that's what I've been talking about all along. Getting your vibration in a certain place so that you can allow. Okay, when you start in a gentle place of non-resistance, when you start in a gentle place of non-resistance. Jesus called it meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. When you are in this place of soft, non-resistant vibrational well-being, everything that you desire will come into your existence. So many people I talk to, they want stuff, right? They want this, they want that. They want to create this, they want to create that. But then they put up resistance to it. Well, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm too old, I'm too old. I got a client like that. You know, I can't do this, I can't do that. Right? I can't do this. Okay. So vibrationally, they're not in alignment. They're not allowing. It's that state of allowing the universe to bring to you. So you have to be in that state of lack of resistance to the universe. So stay out of resistance. And we can talk about that. Maybe I'll talk about that in the class more. So when I get to too much. So that's kind of the lesson for Abraham today. Okay, so what are we doing? Okay, what are we doing? We're getting back into Abraham here. I get people bug me and I'm doing it. Seems like everybody wants to chat with me or do something with me, and I'm right in the middle of a radio show. And I'd rather be talking to you folks. I'd rather have you in the chat room. I'd rather have you call in if you want to talk to somebody, your ancestors. I think when I drop the idea of being the regular psychic, you know, the card reader, the whatever, but that's all right. It's cool. I like what I do. I love what I do. I love being able to talk to dead people. And I have some great stories that I could tell about talking to dead people. Okay? So, well, you know, I have all these things I'd like to do. And sometimes it just comes this flash from spirit says, why don't you try this today? Why don't you do that today? And I'm thinking, well, okay, let's see what the flash that spirit says. Let's get a message from a dead person. Somebody maybe famous, not necessarily somebody I know or my ancestors, maybe somebody there that's been listening, maybe one of your ancestors, or maybe a famous person. I seem to get a lot of musicians. I don't know why. Maybe because I love music and musicians want to come in and they want to share very creative ideas with me. And I'm just trying to kind of being open for a moment and see if there is a message from somebody that's fairly well known. Not getting anything. Oh, it's not coming. So maybe it'll come. Let me do an article or two and maybe it'll flop in. And then maybe somebody will open up to me, okay? Let's do an article on phobias. I love this, phobias. Phobia, this is from WebMD. What are you afraid of, okay? Fear versus phobia. Fear protects you from danger. Phobias have little to do with danger. Well, okay, I have a phobia that's kind of like danger related, but we'll go do it anyway. More than 19 million Americans have a phobia, an intense, irrational fear when they face a certain situation, anxiety, or activity, or object. Okay, I'll tell you mine. I don't want to hear your phobias. Anybody have a phobia like this? Mine is going over freeway overpasses that are really high and bend to the right or bend to the left, mostly to the left. If it's a really high freeway, you know, freeway exchanges goes from one freeway to the other. That's my phobia. And I've been working on it. I'm getting better. Some of them I can do and some of them that are really high I can't do. And I know where it comes from. And I need to go to my own. I have a good hypnotherapist. I know they could work with me on it because it's hard to do self-hypnosis on this. You can do it through hypnosis. You can get rid of these. Okay. With a phobia, your anxiety and fear are not warranted, but you can't help the feelings. Yeah, that's me. You know, I'm going over this thing and I freeze up. Okay. It says you can be so intense that you virtually paralyze you. And that's me. You get this overwhelming anxiety. See, I'm being vulnerable here. I'm explaining mine, but it's overwhelming. I have to slow down. I'm like doing, you know, I'm on this thing where people are doing 40 to go from one freeway to the next. And there I am crawling around at 10 miles an hour, and people are going, you got to speed up, George, you got to hurry up, you know, people with me. And there's some people I would never drive with. I got this phobia because they're going, well, you shouldn't be. Yeah, what's wrong with you, you know? So that's my phobia. So let's go through some of these. And I'll check back and see if anybody's listening and if you have any phobias or anything you want to work with. Now, I've helped people with some. I had a friend who – I had a client who had a fear of flying. He was a salesperson, and that was kind of tough on him to be in sales and traveling. So let's look at some of these. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want to kind of bridge to maybe somebody will come in through want to talk to me that's famous from the past, but I don't seem to be getting – okay, three kinds of phobia. Hundreds of different phobias have been identified, including photophobia. Or a fear of phobias. Talking about phobias, they're a kind of anxiety disorder. Experts divide them in three categories. Agoraphobia, an intense anxiety in public places where an escape might be difficult. Social phobia, a fear of an avoidance of social situations. And specific phobia, irrational fear of specific objects or situations. Mine would be a specific phobia versus social. My brother would have social phobia. He doesn't do well around other people. He gets a lot of anxiety, freezes up, especially in social situations. Especially has to discuss something with somebody and it becomes uncomfortable. Actually, it led to a stroke. Agoraphobia. Fear of public places. The agora was a market and meeting place in ancient Greece. Someone with agoraphobia is afraid of being trapped in a public place or place like a bridge or at a line at the bank. That's not mine. The actual fear is not being able to escape if anxiety gets too high. Agoraphobia affects twice as many women as men. I didn't know that. Did you know that? More women, you know, these women that will never leave the house, right? Men too, right? If left untreated in extreme cases, it can lead to someone becoming housebound. You've seen movies about that, right? They're housebound. Oh, no. Social phobias. Now, I would say that my brother's case is borderline beyond shyness, but let's get into that, okay? Let's get into that a little bit. Okay, so someone with social phobia is not just shy. That person feels extreme anxiety and fear about how he or she will perform in a social situation. Now, what's this got to do with spirituality? I thought that when I got this article, what does this have to do with spirituality? Because all of these phobias show limit you from being fully yourself, to enjoying life, to experiencing all there is in life. Now, some of them are so specific you can avoid them and it doesn't really interfere with your life. But like this one, social phobia, will others be able to tell it's anxious? Will the words be there when it comes time to talk? Because untreated social phobia often leads to avoiding social contact. Well, that's not a good thing. It's hard to be in a relationship or develop a relationship, right? It can have a major negative impact on a person's relationships and professional life. I think Mr. Monk, the old TV series Monk that was on cable, he had all of them. You know, it's like all those phobias wrapped up in one character was Monk. So I liked Monk, even though I started to do some of the stuff that he did. You know, like, what was it? The funniest one I saw, Mr. Monk was investigating a crime in a warehouse, and there was bubble wrap everywhere. Okay? Can anyone resist bubble wrap? Popping bubble wrap? Maybe some people can, but I can't. So Mr. Monk had to go through practically the whole warehouse and pop bubble wrap. Pop, 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 pop. So that's social phobia. And that's all kinds of crazy phobias. So we'll move on. We'll move into the next one. Maybe. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Oops, that's about bread. We're not going to talk about bread. What happened? Oh, it kind of got lost here. That sometimes it does that. Claustrophobia, needing a way out. Now, that's pretty common, isn't it? Claustrophobia. Claustrophobia, an abnormal fear of being is in enclosed spaces, is a common specific phobia. A person with claustrophobia can't ride in elevators or go through tunnels without extreme anxiety. Afraid of suffocating or being trapped, the person will avoid tight places or often engage in safety-seeking behavior, such as opening windows or sitting near an exit. They make the situation tolerable, but they can't relieve the fear. Do you ever know anybody that just wouldn't go in elevators? It'd be kind of tough to live on the 20th floor if you can never go in elevators. It can be very limiting in your lifestyle because there's not escalators everywhere, right? Or, you don't have to be locked in a closet to be claustrophobic. You can be in tight places. You can be in the middle of a crowd and be claustrophobic because everything feels like it's closing out around you. I just find this so fascinating. I just find zoophobia. I like that. A menagerie of fears. I read this earlier, really, I promise. The most common type of specific phobia is zoophobia, or fear of animals. Zoophobia is actually a genetic term that encompasses a group of phobias involving specific animals. Examples are arachnophobia, a fear of spiders. Okay, then there's a fear of snake. I'm not going to get into the scientific terms. Some of these are like, fear of snakes, fear of birds, fear of bees. Such fears often develop in childhood and sometimes go away as the child ages, but they can persist into adulthood. I don't like snakes. I have to admit, I don't like snakes. It's not that I'm like terrified of snakes. I even tried to hold a snake once, but just not me and snakes don't get along. There's something about snakes that just kind of put me off. Anybody out there that like snakes? Ooh, yeah, keep them away from me. I guess it's a little bit of a phobia. I don't know why. I remember from my childhood why, but we won't get into all that craziness, right? Okay. So we got past that one. Brontophobia. I like brontophobia. The Greek word bronte means thunder, and brontophobia means fear of thunder. Even though people with brontophobia may realize that thunder won't hurt them, they may refuse to go outside during a thunderstorm. Yeah, well, there's another reason for not going out. It's the lightning part, right? They may even hide indoors by crouching behind a couch or waiting out the storm in a closet. Now, it'd be hard to be a claustrophobic and a brontophobia at the same time, wouldn't it? Because can't hide in the closet. Oh, no. And lightning has a whole different. So a phobia for lightning is shared by people and animals. I think dogs don't like lightning much, do they? And I'm not going to pronounce astrophobia. It's astrophobia, which is a fear of lightning. Okay, so that's not good. My dog doesn't like lightning and thunder. Nope, not at all. Either cats are even worse about it. Acrophobia. Okay, what is acrophobia? Anybody know what acrophobia is? I know you guys aren't even paying attention, but I'm having fun. But acrophobia. Okay, so wait a minute. I keep hitting the wrong one. Acrophobia. Acrophobia is an excessive fear of heights and manifests as severe anxiety. A person could have an attack just walking upstairs or climbing a ladder. Now, I have a little bit of that, and that goes to my bridge thing, too. So something. But I'm afraid of more artificial heights, man-made heights, than mountains. I can go up in the mountains. I can stand on the ledge. But my fear is somebody's going to push me over. Okay. You can have a dangerous situation for someone who has it. Anxiety attack can make it extremely difficult to safely get down from whatever high places that trigger the attack. Yeah, you get stuck. you go up like on a ladder and you get frozen on the roof and you're afraid to get down, right? Or whatever it is. These all come from childhood and their belief systems. Aerophobia, afraid to fly. That's not, who was it? The famous football coach and broadcaster John Madden had aerophobia. He took a bus everywhere. He had a big bus made, you know, a big, you know, like motorhome type bus, and he would travel from game to game by bus. He would not fly. That had made it tough as a coach or a football player or whatever. Someone who has aerophobia is afraid of flying. The phobia generally develops after a person has a traumatic experience involving an airplane, such as going through extreme turbulence or witnessing another passenger have a panic attack. Even after the incident is forgotten, the fear stays and even be triggered by watching a film of a plane crash on TV. Hypnotherapy is often used to identify the initial trauma to treat this phobia. Okay, the gentleman I worked with, one of the people I worked with who had this fear, went back to his childhood, and it really didn't have anything to do with airplanes. It had to do with those merry-go-rounds that you push the playground, and kids would push, and then some would jump on, and it would go around and around and around, and he was the smallest of the children, and they wouldn't let him off. They kept pushing, and they kept going faster and faster, and he couldn't get off. That's where his fear. So he lost control. He had a fear of losing control. So in an airplane, you lose control. You hand all the control over to the pilot and the crew. So there's a fear factor there. So we had to work through that. We had to gain control again of the situation by imagining that he's in control and imagining that he can help other people on the plane, and he could calm other people down, and he could have some sense of control while on an airplane. So it works. It worked for him. So what else do we have going on here? Are we having fun? Blood injection injury phobias. Now, I've never heard of this one before, but this is kind of fascinating stuff, right? There is a spectrum of blood injection and injury phobias, including hemophobia, fear of blood, trypanthiophobia, fear of receiving an injection. Why do they get these fancy words, right? You know, it's like, why can't they just say, you know, whatever, injection phobia, inject phobia, right? Some people have an injury phobia and others have a phobia about invasive medical procedures. These phobias are associated with fainting. You ever faint when you had your blood taken out? I think I have a little bit of a phobia about having the colonoscopy, and mine's because of some of the scopes that they've been using. People have been getting really sick from them. Okay, paranormal fears. Okay, what about this one? Anybody have that? I have this. I was a mess as a child. I had all this stuff going on, right? Thinking about it, going, whoa, what a basket case. Some phobias sound like they belong on a thriller, chiller channel, or cable TV. Okay, I'm not going to pronounce this. This is adiaphobia is an abnormal fear of anything related to the number 13, like the 13th floor. If the thought of ghosts makes you overly anxious, you might have a plasmophobia. And despite the fact that vampires aren't real, some people are terrified of bats. Phobia is called trypophobia. Well, what do you know about that? Like Friday the 13th, you would stay in bed, right? You never go to the 13th floor. You always wonder where these came from. There's a fear, there's an unnatural fear of vomiting that typically starts early in life from some traumatic episode. For instance, someone may have witnessed a schoolmate vomiting in public or done so himself or herself. So anxiety may be triggered by thoughts of vomiting or thinking of somewhere such as a hospital or where vomiting is common. Okay. And this can be treated with hypnotherapy. Yeah, it can be. A lot of these can be treated with carcinophobia, the fear of cancer. People with carcinophobia or cancerophobia live with an irrational fear of developing cancer. every body discomfort becomes a sign for them that they have a malignant growth somewhere inside. A headache, for example, is a sign that they have a brain tumor. Cognitive therapy can help someone with carcinophobia regain control of their life. Okay, we had enough of these yet. Yeah, I think we've had enough of these. I'm waiting for your calls. And I think who wanted to talk, and I kind of ignored the message, was Robin Williams, the comedian. Remember Robin? He died about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. It's been that long, right? 2 years ago. So what did Robin have to say to us today? Keep laughing. Now, it's simple, right? Keep laughing. I mean, I'm not trying to think somebody's trying to say. I just get what I get and let it out there. And you just kind of say, yeah, it feels like it doesn't feel like. Keep laughing. Find a place in your life where humor is the most dominant element in your life. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at those around you. Don't take life so seriously. Don't allow the darkness in your life to overwhelm you. Get treatment, but look at life as an opportunity to constantly feel and express joy, to laugh, to play, to sing, to dance, to do all of these things humans need and want. Love to love, and laugh with your partners. Okay, I don't know if I'm getting what I'm getting there, but I just kind of put it out to you. Okay? So what I feel like he's saying to me is just that you find, always find opportunities to laugh. Always find opportunities to feel good. Always find opportunities to turn your back on the depressing, negative aspects of life. In comedy, we look at life and we examine life and we look at many times the negativity in the world around us, but that leads to embracing that negativity, even though we're analyzing the negativity and trying to be funny about the negativity encroaches into our psyche. And more you allow the negativity in the world to encroach on your psyche, it pushes out the joy. It creates fear. It creates fear of living. It creates fear that the world itself is damaged in some way and that life cannot go on the way it is. So find joy. Avoid the negativity. Avoid the negativity and let it go. Release it. Don't allow it to be part of your lives. I suffered from absorbing years and years of the negativity in the world and allowing that negativity to affect myself, my psyche, my soul, my being, and I turned it inward, and which aided to my depression. Depression is more than a chemical reaction in the body. It's a depression of the soul. It's a soul that loses hope in humanity and oneself and suffers and tries to strike out with humor, but the overwhelming energy is negativity and a negative look at the world. So don't go there. Leave it alone. Avoid the negative things of the world. Don't dwell on them. Don't spend a lot of time on them. People who are negative, All they can do, if you allow them, is to infest your soul with the damaging of negative energy. Okay, that's enough. That was pretty like, whoa, okay, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, that was quite a message. Thank you. And I believe that's not for me. I really do believe that's a message for all of us about the negativity in the world and infesting our soul with negativity. So stay away from it. Good message. Didn't expecting that. I got a bunch of articles. And I'm trying to figure out, since I'm not having any callers, I'm trying to find something that's a little more fun. We did the phobia thing and I've gotten done with that. How about body language? and I read some of these yesterday, and I'm going to go on. This is really good for women, or, you know, just in general. Okay, I like this one. So, okay, you're on a date, or you meet somebody, or it's your boss or somebody, and it could be romantic or not romantic, but what does it mean? Okay, so this is about men to women, or men to men, but mostly women. Okay, when a man offers his palm, you face up. Okay, put it face up. You know, hands down, he's hooked. He's literally and figuratively reaching out to the person he's speaking with in an attempt to connect on a deeper emotional level. You know, you shake hands, you put your hand out straight, right? But if he puts his hand palm down, that's interesting. Even cooler, our brains respond to hand gestures with heightened awareness. We have a special region that processes only hand shapes. So you actually feel the love. So you'll actually feel the love. So if a man puts his hand out, palm down to you, it means he's hooked. And you think about that. Think about that. I don't know if it goes for women. It probably goes for women, too. If a woman puts her hand down, palm down, it's the same thing. But this is about men. So I thought that was really interesting. These are kind of cool body language. He strokes his stomach. Now, I never thought about this one for a while. What does it mean? A midriff messenger craves the spotlight. Massager craves the spotlight and needs to steady verbal reminders of what an absolute catch you think he is. However, when it comes to throwing fond feelings your way, this tongue-tied cutie is much more of an action than words. But if you want him to shower you with affection he's capable of, you'll have to stroke his ego as often as he strokes himself. So rubbing, man who rubs his midriff, his belly area, craves a spotlight and needs steady verbal reminders of what an absolute catch you think is it, he is. So if you see a man doing that, he needs to be stroked. He needs to be complimented. Okay? I'm just going with this. I'm having fun with it. So what do you think? Is that true? His kiss is long and lusty. Now that seems to be pretty obvious, doesn't it? A full-blown smooch that lasts more than 10 seconds shows he's had sex with you on his brain all day. Whoa, okay. I guess this is more than the first meeting. No, maybe it could even be the first meeting. Yeah, I mean, if he wants this long involved kiss, even on the first date, he's got something on his mind, right? Says Audrey Nelson, PhD, author of You Can't Say, Navigating Nonverbal Communication Between the Sexes. The sack sessions are bound to be intense. So that first kiss, what is it like? Is that 10-second kiss? He's going deep? Okay, we will leave it there. You know, that's kind of like, whoa, okay, good for him. He licks his lips. What does it mean? And I would say this goes both ways, but most of my listeners are women. And so if you're in the dating, or even your husband or boyfriend, and you know, like really. So if your boyfriend comes home from work or comes home and he's been gone for a while and he gives you this 10-second kiss and really goes deep, hopefully you're in the mood, right? Hopefully in the mood. Dating, he licks his lips. A man in lust will literally look like he's hungry because on a carnal level, that's exactly what he is. So if you catch him doing the lip moves while he's looking at you, chances are good that you've whet his erotic appetite. I would think that's a good warning, too. If you're trying to work with somebody and you're just trying to, you know, do whatever you do and in a workplace, or if you want to go out as a friend and he's licking his lips, you're giving him the wrong impression, obviously. You gotta cool his jets right then, right? So moving right along. He leans in close. What it means, a dude who wants to get intimate will often invade your personal space. Now, this is a pretty obvious one in a lot of ways, isn't it? In normal interactions, men position themselves a foot and a half to 2 feet away. But a guy who has sex with you on the brain will stand less than an arm's length from you or closer because he's trying to connect physically and create intimacy. So be careful of those guys that didn't want to move in close, right? Move in close all the time. They got one thing on their mind, and it's not friendship, okay? It's not going bowling. Yeah, right? And this is a little dating thing, and this is like the first time out. And, okay, he proudly holds your hand in public. And this is what you've been seeing with somebody for a little while. This, the other lot of the ones were first dates or just first in key encounters that you're at a Starbucks with somebody and he gets in really close. Ooh, be careful. He wants to show the world that you're his. That indicates that he's the type who craves close partnership. Okay, good or bad, whatever. I mean, it's not doesn't seem so bad, but you know, he's wanting to hold your hand. He touches the back, the small of your back, your upper thigh, or your sides. Ooh. If a guy is sexually aroused, he'll touch these sensual, sensitive areas, not even bother with gradual buildup, like holding your hand or stroking your arm. So if you're on a date or a second date with somebody and the guy's going for the lower back and going for the hips or the thighs, and he's got one thing on his mind, and it ain't just being friends, right? Okay. He laughs easily. This is if you've known somebody for a little while, right? The body language. What it means is the guy is relaxed and able to be himself with you. He's letting his guard down and comfortable expressing his emotions, which a guy usually does when he's thinking long term, says relationship experts Jeffrey Bernstein, PhD, co-author of Why Can't You Read My Mind? So the guy's around you, and everything you say, or a lot of things you say, are kind of funny to him. He just laughs easily with you. He wants something longer than a short-term thing. He says goodbye by planting one on you. What it means. So, goodbye, kiss. The big, long goodbye kiss, right? If you and your guy regularly part with a lengthy lip lock, that damn, you're lucky. A man with goodbye mo is incredibly passionate and highly erotic. What do you think? So the guy that kikes to leave with a big goodbye kiss, maybe, unless you don't like it. Okay, so what are we doing here? I mean, I'm going through all these in body language things, and they're kind of fun, I think. I got a couple more. I think there's tons of this stuff. Maybe I'll do one more, two more. He slouches his shoulders, and what it means. Slouches his shoulders, leans his shoulders forward. A man who finds a woman's actions to be adorable or sweet, he gets an urge to hold her. As his result, his shoulders automatically round off as though he's about to take her in his arms. The shoulder slump does indicate attraction, but even better, with serious emotional. Let me move this thing down. I'm looking for the next emotional undercurrent. So, in the case of a long-term lover, his shoulder roll is a likely sign that one of his quirks has tucked on his heartstrings. Your quirks has touched on his heartstrings, and if a brand new dude pulls that move, chances are he's feeling a true connection with you. So the slumping of the shoulders, the moving in, like he really wants to hug you all the time, means the guy's really into and he wants to be with you. And you know, it's a good thing. You know, it's like looking for these things in a relationship, looking for these connections, right? Because if you're reading his moves right, that he may be wanting more than a long-term relationship or a short-term one-night stand. So this is good ones for reading a man without words, because men can sometimes do lots of things without words, right? Okay, so I had fun today. And, you know, there's so many of these. We'll get into some more of these maybe tomorrow. And cause this is good preparation for women that go out into the dating scene or even, you know, or dating somebody. How do you know he wants something serious with you? You can read his body. You can read his body language. And the next ones we'll get into more about him wanting a long-term relationship and how you can read his body language in his actions to determine that. So I had fun. Love you guys. I'll be back tomorrow. Have some fun. Enjoy your evening. Bye now.